Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
It's 8:50 and time for our pre-opening commodity market report today with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. Snug inventories of live hogs at several pork processing plants and active crop harvesting are fueling forecasts of steady to firm prices today. Terminals are called steady to higher with top prices from $43 to $48. Peoria called a dollar higher today with a top price of $43. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, October 3rd, voluntarily reported negotiated swine purchases were 15,509. For the base market hog on 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $54.50 to $68, the weighted average $63.10, a gain of $2.13 from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $43.88 to $55, and the weighted average was $49.68. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 19,104. The base price range was $55.50 to $68. The weighted average was $65.22, a gain of $2.56 from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $45.19 to $53.50, and the weighted average was $49.32.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Well, there is a band of heavy rain right now falling across southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois, northeastern, heavily rain in northeastern Illinois, across northern Indiana, and across the state of Michigan. Behind that, high pressure will build in, bringing mostly dry conditions to the area. And chances for weekend precipitation across the Midwest still in the forecast, but have been reduced significantly from the model runs of yesterday. The precipitation that was expected to show up on Sunday, well, now showers and thunderstorms reduced to impact around 35 to 40% of the western Corn Belt on Sunday and Monday. Amounts generally under a half inch. The same rain event also reduced for the eastern Corn Belt, with the change meaning there is no significant rainfall events slated for the western Corn Belt through the next week to nearly 10 days. And although there will be several brief periods of light precipitation, eastern Midwest crop areas should receive the most significant rainfall today, and no substantial precipitation following that through the middle of next week. And while absolute dryness is not expected, the evolution in the forecast has trended towards much better harvest conditions. A cooler bias in the forecast expected in the second week of a two-week forecast, mainly across the upper Midwest and then settling in towards the Ohio River Valley. For the Delta in the southeast, Tuesday was warm and dry. High temperatures mostly 90s, some upper 80s in northern areas. Lows this morning were mostly in the 60s, and favorable conditions for field work will continue for nearly another week in most locations. Virginia, North Carolina, the only areas that are expected to receive significant rainfall this week, with a weak upper-level low-pressure system moving into the area, and some areas could pick up as much as an inch of rain. Outside the U.S., back to Argentina, rain will shift from the northeast half of the nation before ending overnight. Another inch to a half inch to an inch and a half will result, with a few greater amounts. Only the precipitation ending on Thursday, or after the precipitation ends Thursday, Argentina is not likely to see additional rainfall for a while. Next larger storm system not showing up on the maps until around October 15th. Field work will accelerate in response to this week's rain. Aggressive planting of corn and sunseed is anticipated when drier weather evolves later this week and into the weekend, while winter grain crops condition will also improve. The forecast for Brazil, similar to that of yesterday, although rain intensity has been reduced in both weeks of the two-week forecast. Central and southern crop areas will experience the most frequent and the most significant rain, with more than enough to maintain soggy field conditions in Minas Gerais, Mato Grosso do Sul, and southward into Santa Catarina. Field work will be limited in interior southern Brazil during the next couple of weeks. Planting and routine farming activities will advance a little better to the north, but far northern production areas may have to wait on significant rain before proceeding with more of the field work there. Quickly noting on the wheat market, less rain advertised in the hard red wheat area by some computer forecast models might generate some market interest. It does look like there will be some... The Australian grain outlook remains dismal with little hope of change over the next 10 days despite some advertised shower in Queensland, northeastern New South Wales next week. And again, Argentina's winter grain area is improving because of recent rains, and this trend is expected to prevail for a few days. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Zola.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In the Tuesday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 493, up 1 1/4, last trade up 3/4, March 502 3/4, unchanged, last trade up 1/2. December wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 441 1/2, up 2, last trade up 3, March 457 3/4, up 1 1/4, last trade up 3, May 460 1/2, up 1/2, last trade up 1, July 463 1/2, unchanged, last trade up 2. December corn opened at 264, unchanged, last trade up 1/2. March, 277 1/2, down 1/2, last trade unchanged. May, 285 1/2, unchanged, last trade up 1/2. July, 293 1/2, unchanged, last trade up 1/2. September, 298 1/4, unchanged, last trade unchanged. December, 305 1/2, down 1/4, last trade up 1. March, 313 1/2, down 1/2, last trade down 1/2. November beans opened at 542 1/2, unchanged, last trade up 1. January 557, down 1/4, last trade unchanged. March 568 1/2, down 1/4, last trade up 1/4. December soybean meal opened at 162.80, up 10, last trade up 60. October soybean oil opened at 23.30, up 2, last trade up 2. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Clayton.
Hi, good morning, Dave.
Well, we're heading into the glut of harvest over the next week to 3 weeks. What do you anticipate prices might do under harvest pressure this year?
Well, I would look for us to have a slow erosion. I think it's a great moonshot here we had the last couple of weeks in corn and wheat, but I think at this point the reality of the harvest and the accompanying harvest selling, even though it might not be as much as in prior years, selling it is, I think is going to kind of keep a little bit of a lid on this market. And you see the long liquidation beginning yesterday, and I think we'll continue to see a little bit of that. You know, bounce a little bit along the way. We're going to start off a little higher today, but I think this market's going to have a hard time approaching those highs from last week anytime soon.
The question I have for you, Clayton, is after the harvest pressure is over and we're two-thirds to complete in the harvest, are these markets going to turn sideways, or do they have another piece of potential to trend higher again?
I think that we could poke higher and you know, work a little bit higher than the highs we hit the other day. You know, you talked about after harvest, but I certainly don't see an onward and upward type scenario like a lot of people do seem to see. I think we could push higher, sort of probe around up there, you know, maybe 5-8 cents higher than our recent highs, at best, in my opinion. And then that would, in the process, sort of be carving out the upper end of a trading range. And I think we could just kind of bounce back and forth, you know, see corn trading, you know, 20-cent range or so, really for a number of months here, kind of treading water, waiting for new data.
What factors are putting you in the not treading steadily higher camp?
Oh, I think bullish enthusiasm is kind of off the charts, not only with the public, but with farmers as well. That's usually a pretty dangerous perspective, it seems like, for the market to have. I do think an awful lot of phenomenal demand is completely digested in this market. be real difficult to surprise anybody on the upside as far as ethanol demand goes, and I think we might have some mild surprises on the downside, very possibly, for several reasons. Don't really have time to get into right now, but I just think that farmer holding is very high, and it's probably going to be higher than normal after harvest, and that's usually a quotient for a market that's going to have trouble going anywhere on the upside as well, too.
Would you suggest producers go ahead and sell on-priced grain across the scale at this point rather than trying to store it commercially?
It's hard to answer that with a blanket yes or no, simply because everybody's storage situation is so different. But in general, that would be my bias. I would not commit to some real expensive storage rates unless the person's basis is just absolutely horrendous, which it's a real localized situation this year, more than normal, and basis has improved. And it's acceptable, in my mind, in an awful lot of areas. And like I said, I'd be very hesitant to lock in big storage cost of money expenses, you know, just because we've got dollar signs in our eyes on all this ethanol demand on the horizon. I think we've got a pretty decent bird in the hand right now, and I'd be hard-pressed not to take it.
Thank you much, Clayton.
Okay, thank you.
Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. You're listening to WILL Urbana.